Today's Shiur Masechet Kedushin Daf Ayin. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Ayin Amud Aleph on the top line. The Mishnah we had learned taught us the various categories of Jews who came up with Ezra to Eretz Yisrael. And Mishnah mentioned amongst those categories were Geiri v'Charuri. Geirim, of course, Geirim and Charurim are avodim that were freed. Ask the Gemara Menolam, from where do we know that they joined? Amar Rav Chizda, the Makro, the Pasuk says that after Ezra came to Eretz Yisrael and built the Beis HaMikdash, and they brought the Karmen Pesach, the Pasuk says, V'yachlu b'nei ha-Yisrael ha-shavim ha-goyla, Klai Yisrael, who had returned from the goyla, ate from the Karmen Pesach, V'kol ha-nivdol mitumas goya aretz, Aleihem Lidrash L'Shem Elkei Yisrael. And joining them in the eating of the Karan Pesach were those who had been separated from the various idols, the various Avodah Zarah, to join Klal Yisrael. So obviously, who is that? Who's the Pasuk referring to? The Pasuk is referring to Geirim. Geirim had once, unfortunately, worshipped Avodah Zarah, and then they turned themselves around to come join Klai Yisrael. The next group that was included in our Mishnah were the Mamzerim. So ask the Gemara, how do we know that the Mamzerim were included? The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, V'yishma Sanvalat HaCharoni V'tuvya Ho'eved HaMoini. He heard how Nehemiah had requested of Daryavish for permission to build the Beis HaMikdash. And the Pasuk says, V'yeir lahem ra g'doyla, they were very upset, Ashaba Adam levakish tovel v'nei Yisrael, that there was somebody who had come to request something to be done, that good should be done for Klal Yisrael. V'ksiv, and the Pasuk says, K'ram b'Yehuda bali u'shvua, there were many people who were colleagues to Tuvia, they were loyal to him. Kichosin l'Chashanya ben Aruch. He was the son-in-law of Chashanya ben Aruch. V'yoichran benoy lokach as Meshulam ben Barachia. He took the daughter of Meshulam Barachia as a wife. So we see that the children that were born to Tuvia and of the daughter of Shechanya and the children that were born to Yechoichran and the border and the daughter of Meshulam were Mamzerim, because this man, the Omer, is of the opinion that Ksavar, he holds, if a Jewish woman has relations with a non-Jewish woman, the Vlad is a Mamzer. So since here we see that they had relations with situation of Jewish women having relations with non-Jewish men, their children were Mamzerim. The Tosfos Yontov asks, then our Mishnah, as is quite common, the Mishnah put Mamzerim and the Nesinim together. But the Gemara doesn't mention how we know the Nesinim came up. So Rishash says that there's a pasuk that explicitly says Nesinim came up, that's a raya that there were Nesinim that came up with Ezra. Says the Gemara, so the way we were able to establish there were Mamzerim that came up with Ezra is that we follow this opinion. But Hanich Lamandoma, that follows the opinion that Avikachom Ever Abba Bas Yisrael Havlad Mamzer. But as we've learned, the Loch is not that way. Elaman Domer, that says the Avikachom Ever Abba Bas Yisrael, the Vlad is Yisrael, Elamandom, a Vlad Kosha, the child is not a Mamzer, Samaya Klamema, from where would we know they were Mamzerim? Vesu, furthermore, asked the Gemara, nowhere in the Pasuk does it say, Davale B'ni, that these non-Jewish men who married Jewish women had children. Demalai Havale B'nei, maybe they never had children, and if they never had children, then they're no Mamzerim. Vesu, how do we know that this pasuk refers to the time that they came from those that came from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, with maybe these individuals, Dor Mahasim, have. Our Mishnah and Sugyas have been focused about people who came with Ezra from Babel to Eretz Yisrael. Even if these people were there, it doesn't mean that they had children. It doesn't necessarily mean that they came up with Ezra. Maybe they were there from before. Says the Gemara, Elam Ahacha, from how do we know there were Mamzerim that came up with Ezra? The Pasuk says, Ve'ela oylem etel melech tel chasha kruv adon. V'amela yuchla hagad beis avoysam v'zaram im Yisrael heim. They weren't able to identify from where they were. And the Gemara says, what does that mean? Tel melech, what does it mean that they came from a place called Tel Melech? El b'nei adam shadoim ma'asayim l'masa sadoim. Their behavior was similar to the behavior of Sodom. We know, which was a place of terrible immorality, as the Pasuk says, V'anshi Sodom, Roim, V'chatoim, and the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Tes Amud Beis, explains that what they used to do was that if somebody wounded a woman who was pregnant and she lost her child, they would say, you have to replace the child. You have relations with that woman and impregnate her. Obviously, that woman is an Eishes Ish, and the child would be a mamzer. The Gemara continues explaining the words of the Apostle, Tel Charsha, refers to Zeg Shekara Abba, somebody who calls her mother's husband father, Vime Meshatkasoy, and his mother says, don't call him father, he's not your father. Sufi, who is that? Somebody who's gathered from the street. Shenesef Menashuk, that this child is taken in from the street. And if he's taken in from the street, we obviously don't know his status, if he's Jewish at all. It says the Gemara, Kruv Adon V'Imer, Amra V'Vua, Amra Adam. Ani Amati Yisrael Fonai Chshuvim K'Kruv. I said that Klai Yisrael should be special to me, just like the Malachim. The Haim, and they behave, Sama Atzvam K'Nemar. The Nemar is a particularly immoral animal that doesn't have any loyalty to a mate. Why? How do we know that the Nemar, the leopard, from all animals, has this trait? Because as we know, the Shulchan Aruch begins with those words, have a as kenemer, be strong like a leopard. What is meant when it says have a as kenemer? What's meant to say is that the nemer has the characteristic of azus. Azus is a characteristic very often attributed to mamzerim. And since it's a characteristic that's often attributed to mamzerim, that's why the nemer is identified as a mamzer. Rikadami amarvu amadun, api shesamatzma kenemar, even though they act that way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, chshuvim lefanei k'kruv, they're still to me like malachim. And the way the Mefarshim explained the Gemara, based on what Chazal teaches, the mamzer tamid chacham, that even if someone is unfortunately a mamzer, but he's a tamid chacham, then he's even greater than Kohen Gadol, who's an Amma Oretz. And that's what it means here to say, that even though they have this trait of being a mamzerim, and they are therefore presumably mamzerim, they're still more special to me because they are, if they're Talmid Chachamim. And the Eine Yitzchak explains, where Kodesh Baruch Hu says that Kruv has another definition. Kruv sometimes means a young child. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying was that that the way I treat Klal Yisrael is that even if Chas V'Shalom they do Averis, I look at them as Kruv. I look at them as young children. And since I treat them like young children, I forgive them for any Averis that they might have done. Mm-hmm. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabba Babachana, if someone marries a woman who's not befitting to him, the Pasuk considers it as if he plowed up the entire world, the Zara Melech, and planted salt. Obviously, would ruin the ground. A person has to be careful to marry a woman who is befitting to him. So the Pasha Pshat, Rashi explains, a woman who the Halacha says that you're not supposed to marry. Others say that it doesn't mean, the Pnei Yeshua says, it doesn't mean that she's disqualified midaraisa. The Pasuk is, what's speaking to here is that according to who he is, this is not the person whom he should marry. Says the Gemara, Amarav Abarav Adar, Amarav, Kala Noisi Isha L'Shum Mamon. If somebody just marries a woman for the sake of money, because she comes from a wealthy family, Havel Ebonim She'enim Ogonim. He will have children, they will not have great children. Shenem Hashem Bogdu, they rebelled against Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kibonim Zorim Yuladu, and the result will be they will have children that are Bonim Zorim. V'Shem Etam Imam and Polit, at least they'll remain with the money, that money will be lost. The money that the wife brings into the marriage, we know, as we often discuss in Shas, there are two types of assets that a wife brings into a marriage. One is Nechsei Tzoyin Barzel, which are assets that are turned over to be in the husband's ownership. And then there's Nechsei Tzoyin Melug, that the husband eats the interest and the payers of those nechasim, but they remain his. The Shema Taima Chalkai, the Nichsei Tzoyin Barzel, the Loi Chalkai, the Nichsei, but not the Nichsei Malog, Tamalayma Chalkehem, both types of assets. The Shema Taima Lizman Meruba, it'll take a long time until this happens. Tamalayma Yoichlam Chadash. What does Yoichlam Chadash mean? My Mashma, Amar Rav Nachman, by Yitzhak Chadash Nichnas, the Chadash Yetzai, but my mom, within a month, they will lose. So the Maral explains the Gemara that a child is the product of the union of his parents. And if the entire union of these parents is just based on gashmi, is just based on money, that then the children will reflect who they are. Drama, and Evan Ezra Simon Bayes, Sif Al says, somebody who was promised much money when he got engaged to his kala, the chazer behen, and then the girl's parents who had made this commitment renege on the commitment. Lo yagin kalosim shamzeb, he shouldn't withhold getting married. V'lo yiskoite bava nechsei ishtei, he shouldn't get into a quarrel because of that. Umisha oisaken, somebody who behaves that way, a matzlich will not be successful, vein zvugay al yofa, and the marriage will not be successful. Kam mamish adam loykech im ishtoi, ein mamish loyoshim. Mamim that a person takes, that he forces his in-laws to give him, is not honestly earned money. For kala oisaken, whoever does so, nois mikri is in the category of what our Gemara just called, noisi ish l'shei mamim. Al kama shiiten loy, chama v'chamoisoi, whatever someone's in-laws give him, yikach bein toif, he should take as he gets it, v'az yitzliach. So the Chalkas Mechaikik says, the way to understand the Ramaz as follows, that if someone's marrying a woman whom he ought not to marry, and he just is marrying her for the money, there won't be success. But if the girl that the man is marrying is a befitting match, and it happens to be that this girl comes from a family that has money, and they promised him, and they're willing to give him money, so the Chalkas Mechaikik says there's nothing wrong with that. However, he says what the Ramah is adding to this dimension is that one shouldn't get into a quarrel over this. The Aruch HaShulchan explains that if somebody marries a woman just for financial reasons, and if not for the financial element, he might have married someone else, but the woman is a fine woman, and it's a good shidduch, and he's just marrying her so she'll be able to sit and learn, or he'll be able to sit and learn in yeshiva, or have it easier. As long as there's nothing wrong with this woman, even if one can make an argument that maybe he should have married someone else, the Aruch HaShulchan says that there's nothing wrong with that shidduch. There's a very interesting vart that I saw from Rav Yisrael Mojitzer. He explains that in the nusach of the Tanoim, it says V'al yavrichu loizeh mizu v'loizeh mizeh. And those are the same words of mezuzah. So he says that Rav Nachman Breslov said that the mitzvah of mezuzah corresponds to the Aveira in the Torah and the Aseret HaDibros of Loisachmoid. That Loisachmoid means that you shouldn't want what belongs to somebody else. So included in Loisachmoid, he says, is getting married for the sake of money. So that's why when we write the Tanoim, one of the first steps in any Jewish marriage, we say that that they should have in them the midah of mezuzah. What is meant that they should have the midah of mezuzah? Just the mezuzah, just like the mezuzah is here, that it shouldn't be, that somebody shouldn't violate loisachmoid, that somebody shouldn't violate wanting money that isn't his. That's why we have that. That's why we have a reminder above the mezuzah in the Tanoim. V'amar Rav Abar, Rav Ada, V'amar Le Amar Rav Sala, Amar Rav Hamnuna. Kol Anasi Shenagenas Loi. If someone marries a woman whom he ought not to be marrying, Eliyahu Kaifsei, Eliyahu ties him up. Hakadosh Baruch Hu Roitzei, and Hakadosh Baruch Hu gives him Malkus. V'tana, and so do we learn a Brisa, a Kulam regarding Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim. Eliyahu Kaisev. A Kadosh Baruch Hu Kaisim, Eliyahu writes and a Kadosh Baruch Hu signs. What does he write? Oiloi lepaisa lazaroi, woe is to the person who defiles his children, lepaigim es mishpachtoi, and defiles his entire family, lenoisi isha sheino hagenesla, marrying a woman whom he ought not to marry, Eliyahu kaifsoi, a Kadosh Baruch Hu ties up that person, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Eliyahu ties up the person, a Kadosh Baruch Hu writesoi, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu then gives that, and then a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives that individual Malkus. So I saw that the Gra explains that the Gemara teaches us in Masechta Avodah Zarah that Mashiach cannot come until all the neshamas that are supposed to come to this world are born. So this person who, and those neshamas have to be worthy neshamas. Says the Gra, when somebody marries a woman whom he ought not to marry, even if they have children, those children, as we've been explaining in our shir, would not be children of the highest madrega. And therefore, that person who brings those type of children to the world are preventing Mashiach from coming. And that's why Eliyahu particularly is very upset, and that's why Eliyahu kaifsai. The Kala Paisai, somebody who always says bad and embarrasses other people by saying different deficiencies that they may have, Kala Paisal, Pasal. It's an indication that he has that deficiency. Somebody who doesn't speak nicely about other people, that's a proof that he has a deficiency. Vamishmul. If you see that he says something about other people, it's obviously that he has that the deficiency. And based on this Gemara, there's a famous vart from the Baal Shem Tov, that if a person sees somebody doing an Aveira, it must be that he has done that Aveira. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that you should see somebody did an Aveira, it must be because you're somehow connected to that Aveira. Says the Gemara, who gave them an ador? There was a person from ador, Dalabay Midbachy of Pumbadisa, that went to the butcher shop in Pumbadisa. Amalu Havli Basra, please give me, serve me, I would like to buy some meat. Amalu, so the butcher said to him, Notar, wait at the Shokl Shamid of Yehuda by Yecheskel, until the assistant of Yehuda by Yecheskel gets, he's waiting in line, and wait till he is served first. And then we will serve you. Omar, So this person said, Man Yehuda ben Shviskel, he spoke about him in a very derogatory fashion. The Kadam Li, the Shakum Kamoi. Who is he that should get served before I get served? Ozova Amalei Rabbi Yehuda. So they went and told Rabbi Yehuda what happened, about how this person spoke about him. Shamte. So they put him into Chayrim. Amar Rogel, the Karel Inche Avdei. So they said about, they told Rabbi Yehuda about this man, that this person always calls people servants. Says the Gemara, Achazalei, so Rabbi Yehuda said, it must be Avdahu. So of course, many Mefarshim ask, why was this reported to Rabbi Yehuda? Why is this report to Rabbi Yehuda not considered Lashon Hara? So one pshat that the Iyun Yaakov suggests is that it was done in public. And the halacha is, the Gemara Masechet Erechin says that anything that's done in front of many people is therefore well known and it's not considered Lashon Hara. Tosfos and many Rishonim have a very hard time with that approach. Even though it happened publicly, it's still considered Lashon Hara. So must be that here the reason it was allowed to be reported was because it was a question of Kavod HaTorah. This person spoke disparagingly about a Talmud Chacham, and because he spoke about disparagingly about a Talmud Chacham, that's why it was necessary to deal with this individual. Ozelhu, so this person from Nadar, who got the report there, Behuda called him an Evid, Azmin Ladin El Kamed Rav Nachman, called him to a dintar in front of Rav Nachman for libel. Isa Piskad Azmana, so they brought Rav Yehuda a summons. Ozel Rav Yehuda El Kamed Rav Huna, V'amalei, and Rav Yehuda comes and asks Rav Huna, Ezel Eloi Ezel, shall I go or not? Amalei, Mezel Leboi Lmach, you are not obligated to go. Mishum the Gavar Rabbat, you are the Rosh Hashiva and Pumadisa, and because you're the Rosh Hashiva and Pumadisa, you are not obligated to go. El Mishum the Yukad Menesia, Rav Nachman was the son-in-law of the Nasi, and therefore, as because of respect to him, come Zol. So the Yalka Gashuni says, based on this Gemara, that a person should show that even though he doesn't halachically have to do something, but he's showing that he goes lefnim mishur sadin to do whatever is required to show cover to the bezdin. Also, so Rabbi Huda comes to Rav Nachman, ashkei the cover maka. He saw him making a fence around his house, around his loof. The Kimishnas Mana Odom Parnas al Tzibur, once a person is appointed to an important position, he can't do work in front of many people. So now, if you're a Rosh Bezdin, how are you acting this way? Omle, so Rav Nachman responded, I'm just making a small fence for the mitzvah Makkah. Omle, so Rav Yehuda said to him, Umisanya Makkah. Why are you using this word Gudrinisa to describe the fence? Either use the word Makkah, which is the word that the Torah uses, the Ksibaraisa, or use the word Mechitza that is used in the, that the Rabbanan use. Why are you using a different type of word? So here we're learning that a Nasi is not allowed to do Melacha. The Mefarshim do distinguish if it's done privately or done publicly, and as our Gemara also says that it depends if it's done l'shem mitzvah or it's done for something else. The question is, we just said that it's done l'shem mitzvah. And the question that I saw the Paiskim ask, if somebody has a makkah that was made, as we're learning here, for the mitzvah of Makkah, are you allowed to use that fence for other purposes? I saw Rav Chaim Kanievsky's Zatzal was asked, could somebody, for example, hang laundry on the Makkah that he has around the fence? So on the fence. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky says that it is to a great degree considered a Dvar Mitzvah, but even though it's to a great degree considered a Dvar Mitzvah, it's not like a mitzvah object itself exactly. And therefore, Rav Chaim Kanievsky suggested that hanging laundry is not considered so terrible, and he is lenient with hanging laundry. Something whichever he said is an act of a bezoyin, that he said should not be done. And from here we also see that whenever there's a mitzvah to be done, the halacha is you should do it yourself, not have it done by someone else. The poskim, however, I saw, do differentiate if I'm asking somebody else to do it for me, if I'm asking a shliach or I'm asking a poyel. A shliach means that I appointed a messenger, and it's inappropriate to appoint a messenger. But when we speak about a poyel, a worker who I'm paying to do this job, that may be different. Because a poyel, since I'm paying a worker to do the job on my behalf, so that is already more of an extension of myself. And since that's considered more of an extension of myself who are doing the work, there are poskim that are more lenient and ask in a poyel doing work, even if it's a dvar mitzvah. Amalei Yosef Marka Kifta. So if Nachman says, please sit down on the chair. So again, Rabbi Yehuda responds to him, Misani Safso Omer Abonon. Why don't you use the same wording that Chazal used? When Chazal want to speak about a seat, they use the word Safso. Or if you want to use the vernacular, Istriba de Kamri Inchi. Why don't you use the same word that everybody else used? Amalei, then Rabbi Nachman says to Rabbi Yehuda, Lecho Maas Rugona. Eat some esrog with me. And then he says to him, this is what Shmuel said. If somebody uses that word, tlis berumas rucha, we see that he has in him a third of arrogance. Because either you should say esrog kikai rabbanon, like Chazal call it, or esrogayna kanamri inchi. Why do you use a word that nobody else uses? So then he says to him, amalei lishtana ambaga, you should drink this drink. They had a drink which was very common in time of Chazal called asparagus. Why don't you he offered him to drink some asparagus. Amalei misan al asparagus to kai rabbanon. Why don't you use the words that the rabbanon use asparagus? I ampik, or use the word ampuk that amri inchi. Amalei tesi donig, let my daughter whose name was Donig come v'tashkinon, and she'll serve us this drink. Amalei, so Yehuda says hacham Shmuel. We should not allow a woman to serve us. Amongst a woman should not come in between the men to serve her. So he said, so Rav Nachman says to here, well, Ketanihi, she's still a Ketana. Told, so says Rav Yehuda, the Farish Am Shmuel, that Shmuel said, it doesn't make a difference. Having a woman come in amongst the men is inappropriate, whether it's she's an adult or a ketana. Then Rav Nachman says to Yehuda, "Nishtala ma shamal yalta, send a greeting to my wife Yalta." Amalei hachem Shmuel kol b'isha erva. Hearing a woman speaking is considered a kol b'isha erva, and therefore inappropriate. So of course the Paiskim will say that the halacha of kol b'isha erva is only when you hear when she's singing. Just hearing her say something to you is not considered kol b'isha erva. So many mefarshim take the approach in this entire Gemara that they had a special way of greeting each other, and that way of greeting each other involved using a tune. And that's why it was a violation of kol b'isha erva. Efshar aydei shliach. So Rav Nachman said to him, so you don't speak to her directly, send it through a shliach. Amalei hacham Shmuel, ein shalom b'sham isha. You shouldn't even do it through a shliach. So then Rav Nachman says, okay, because you don't want to have another man speak to her, but why don't you do it through me? Aydei bala. Amalei hacham Shmuel, ein shalom b'sham isha klal. Even through the husband. And the way Rashi explains, the reason is because we don't want to create
a connection between this man and this woman. The Miri says, if he's going to be sending her greeting, what's going to happen is he's going to start thinking about her, and therefore we don't want to create a situation where he's thinking about her. But ask Tosfos that the Gemara Masechta Bava Metzia says that the Malachim told Avram Avinu, asked Avram Avinu, Ayasari Ishtacha, and from there we see that you are allowed to send greetings to a wife through a husband. Says Tosfos that there's a difference between Sheila Shalom and L'shloach Lo Shalom. Sheila Shalom is what the Malachim did, which is permitted. Shloach Lo Shalom is Osir. The Tosfos says that you're allowed to ask a husband where is your wife, but not in a case where to send her a greeting. The Be'er Heitav says that if somebody's wife is unfortunately not well, you could ask the husband, how is your wife feeling? And in general, the Paiskim discuss that are you allowed to speak about a woman with other people? And the halacha is that you have to try to prevent speaking about women. The Aruch HaShulchan says saying good morning to a woman is not prohibited. The Sheila Shalom that we're speaking about in our Gemara is a special type of Sheila Shalom that was, as we keep on saying, that showed a certain level of closeness. But just to say good morning to a woman, says the Aruch HaShulchan, is not considered Sheila Shalom and is mutter. Shal Chalei Devisei. So his wife sees what's happening here between Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Nachman. So she sends him a message, Sharle Tigra, whatever issue he came here for, please settle quickly. Everything that you say, he is challenging, and it's just best that we finish with him. Amalei, so Rav Nachman asks Rav Yehuda, my shai to the mar hocha, what brings you here? Amalei, taska das menasa, shada ba'ar basroi, you sent me a summons. Amalei, hash to shoot the malo gemrina. He says, I can't even understand your speaking. You're so much more significant than I am. Taska das manta meshadra lamar, I have the temerity of sending you a summons. Says the Gemara, Afka disk das manam of Nei Chazia. He took out from his packet the summons, Vachsele, and he showed it to him. Amalei ha gavro. So he said to him, Rabbi Yehuda said to him, here's the Ben Ador who gave me the summons, for ha daska, and I'm here. Amalei ha v'asamal lahacha. So he said, since you came already, l'shtoy mili, let's start the entire keich de lelemri, in order that people shouldn't say mechanfen hadadi, we want to protect the honor of the Besdin, and a Besdin will just dismiss the case because it's you. It'll be that people will not have the proper respect for the neitira. Amalei, so he said to Maish Tam Hashamta Malah Gavra. So he asked him, why did you put him to Chayrim? So he said, because Tzir Shlichad Rabbanan, he embarrassed my assistant. So he said, Rav Nachman asked him, so Nagdimar. So why don't you just give him Malkus? Don't we know the Rav Mangid Amanda Mitzar Shluch Rabbanan? Rav would give Malkus to somebody who disrespected a Talmud Chacham. So he says, the Odv Minei Avidaslei. I did something even sharper. So of course the Mefarshim asks, if the punishment for a crime is whatever punishment it is, what gives you right to give a more significant punishment? So I saw that the Mefarshim explained that even though that's what Rav did, what's left over is that every Talmud Chacham has the right to make the determination what is the appropriate punishment in the situation. And he said, my decision was that in this situation, the appropriate punishment is that he should be put into Chayrim. Says the Gemara, all right, so you put him into Chayrim. But my time, Achaz Marle, the Avdahu, why did you declare that he's an Eved? Amalei, the Ragel, the Kari, and Sheevid, he calls everybody else Avodim. The Tani, and I learned, as we learned in the Brice, that Amar Aleph, the Kol HaPaisel, that if somebody says other people have a failure, somebody who can't say nice things about other people, obviously, is a person that has deficiency himself. And we learned Shmuel said b'mumah paisel. If you say something bad about other people, it's obvious that you have that same deficiency. And I saw that the Mepharshim explained that the pasuk says by mitzayra tamei tamei yikra. Somebody who calls everybody tamei is obviously tamei, is tamei himself. And that's why I also saw that the Mepharshim explained, the Gemara says, the way the sun and the moon are set up is that we know that the moon is not complete most of the month, but the sun travels in the sky in a way that the sun never sees that deficiency in the moon. What does that represent? What that represents is that we don't look for other people's failing. So Rav Nachman says to Rav Yehuda, yes, Shmuel said this, that it's something to be concerned about, to go so far that you should make an announcement that that person certainly has this deficiency, mi Omar, is that Shmuel's opinion? Says the Gemara, ad hachi v'hachi, while they're having this conversation, Amai hu ba'din al Rav Yehuda, this person who had brought Rav Yehuda to the entire, l'di k'ras le'avda, you have the chutzpah to call me an Eved, the sinu beis chashmenoim malka. I am a descendant of the chashmenoim. Amalei hacham Shmuel. At that point, Rabbi Yehuda said, Shmuel taught us, called amalei b'dmeis chashmenoim kasina. Anybody who comes from the family of the chashmenoim, avdahu, must be an Eved. Because the entire chashmenoim family were wiped out through Hurdus, their servant, and he took over their place, and he called himself a Chashmenoi, but really all the people who are Chashmenoim are really descendants of Hurdus, who was an Eved. Why were the Chashmenoi wiped out? The reason the Chashmenoim were wiped out was because they took over the Melucha, and Yaakov Avinu said, L'yosu shevet Yehuda m'choikim bein raglov, and because they violated that, they tried to be melochim, tried to be kings, where they weren't supposed to be kings, explains the Ramban. So that's why they were punished. Then not only were they not king, but what really happened was that they became the opposite of kings. They became avodim. Of course, many Rishonim asked the question, but when Hurdus wiped them out, they were miyash from Hurdus, and therefore Hurdus was no longer an Eved. And if he's not an Eved, why are his descendants considered Eved, Avodim? So some say we're not certain that they were Avod, that they were all Miyash. Certainly, I saw some Rishonim suggest that not necessarily were all the Chashmonoim wiped out, and amongst the Chashmonoim that were not wiped out, they might not have known about what Hurdus said. Or even if they didn't know about Hurdus, they might have been ketanim at that point, and a cotton doesn't have the right to be meichel. Amalei le'shavu l'hamal ha'adam ravavam ravhunam rav katol chamachachem meir halacha uba. If a chamachachem says a halacha im kaidem ma'is amra, if he reports it to us before it's relevant, then shemalei we accept what he says. V'mlav, but if he only says it and it's part of something that which is relevant to him, ain't Shimon law. We can't accept it. We need to be concerned that he's saying it because it's relevant to him. So the Paiskim say that two points. One is only if it's relevant to him personally. If it's not relevant to him personally, then we could accept it. And furthermore, they explained that it's only in a situation where he's just saying, this is what I heard. But if you keep back up what he says with rayas, with proof and with svar, with logic, that even though it's relevant to him personally, we accept it. Amalei, so Rav Yehuda said, Hikar Rav Masna, Rav Masna is here, he has no, he's not party to this situation, Kaikavasei, and he holds like me. Says the Gemara, incredible. Ramasna lechazil ha'adah tlaysi sheni. Ramasna wasn't in Adah for 13 years. Just that day, Hahu Yoyma Asi, he came. Amalei, so Yehuda says to Ramasna, Doch Amar, do you recall my Amishmuki koi chadakara agud v'chadakara mabra, what he said when one foot was on the beach and one foot was on the bridge? Amalei, hacham Shmuel, that Shmuel taught us, called Amen Beis Chashmonoi Malka Kasina, whoever says that he comes from the family of Chashmonoi, Avdahu was obviously an Eved. V'leishtai Minoi, there was nobody left from that family. Alhu Risa, only one young girl. The Salka Le'igra went up to the roof, Ram Yekola, and raised the voice for Amma, and she was the last living Chashmonoi, and she committed suicide, and she said, "Call the Amma Beis Chashmonoi, no, whoever says that I'm from the Beis Chashmonoi, Avdahu, the Nafal Mikva Misa." So Rasha says, what happened here was that Hurdus wanted to marry her, and Hurdus assumed that by marrying her, he'll be able to repair the Yichus of his family. She didn't want to let that happen, and therefore she committed suicide just to prevent that from happening, and everybody will know who the Chashmonaim are. So says the Gemara, based on this entire episode, Achrosle, they announced that this individual, Avdahu, Hu Yoyma, says the Gemara, that day, Akhrin Kamak Subas Minadar, a number of Subas got ripped up in Adar, because a lot of people recognized that their Yichus was questionable, and the marriage was questionable, and weren't deserving of the ksuba. Says the Gemara Ki Kanofik, when Rabbi Yehuda was leaving Nador, Nofik Abasrei, many people of Nador were following him, Lemergami. They wanted to stone him because he had revealed their disqualification. Amalei Ishtikus Sikus, so Rabbi Yehuda turned around to them and said, if you remain silent, great. If not, I'm going to reveal even more disqualifications you had. There are two families in Adar. Chadim Mikri de Beyoina, the Chadim Mikri de Beyarvasi. The Simonach, and one is a family that's kosher, one is a family that's disqualified. The Simonach, to remember which one is which. Tomei, the Oyrev is a non kosher bird. So the family that's called Beyoriv are the family that's Tomei. Tar, the Yoina is a kosher bird, is Tar. Shadru Lahu Ugmim Yadayu. They all dropped their stones, and there were so many stones that were dropped that Itma ben Amalka, the river over there, was closed up. So of course the Mefarshim asks, I saw Rabbi Yoshev asks, so he did reveal who are the people that are disqualified. So what's he saying? I'm not going to reveal. He says what he said was that the family of Bnei Oyrev, Beyurvasi, are disqualified. And the family of Beyoina are not disqualified. But he didn't say who is from which family. He says, I could say on each one of you from which family you come. I'm not going to do so. And that's why they left him alone. Machas Rabbi Yehuda b'Pemdisa. Ada v'Yonason Avdei. The Ada and Yonason are Avodim. Yehuda bar Papa Mamzeira. Ubati bar Tovya b'Ramas Rucha. Because he's arrogant, he's really an Eved. He should have accepted a get Shtar Shikra, and he didn't. Machas Rava b'mechudusa. Bali, Denoi, Taloi, Meloi, v'zanoim, Kulun p'sol. He declared in the city where he was the Rav that all these individuals were disqualified families. Amar Yudu Gavoi, Gavanoi. The family Gavoi are the Gavanoi, who we spoke about often, are the Nesinim. During the Nisa, when we spoke about the family during the Nisa, Midori Nesinoi, they're also Nesinim, and one may not marry them. Amar Rav Yosef, Hai Beit Kumba de Pumbedisa, there's a village, Beit Kubi, which is near Pumbedisa, Kulam de Avdi, everybody there are Avadim. Amar Rav Yehuda, on the Shmuel. Abar Meis Avodim, 400 Avodim. Avar Meis Abar Salayim Avodim, 4,000. Hoyle Le Pashka Ben Imar. There was a coin whose name was Kashka Ben Imar. The Kulam, all of them ate Truma because they were the servants of a Kohen. The Nitmu B'Kahuna, and they got assimilated with the Kohanim. Kol Kohen Sheyesh Be'Azaz Panim. So if you meet a Kohen that is disrespectful, and Elam Mehem is from that family. Amar Bai Kulam Yosem B'Shur Nadar. They all sit by the wall of Nadar. And says the Gemara, Pligi U'Pligi Rebbe Lazar. Rebbe Lazar, this is in disagreement with Rebbe Lazar. Because here we're saying that we have a Kohen who is disrespectful, it must be that he's not really a Kohen. Damar Rebbe Lazar, Imrisa Kohen Da'azis Matzach, if you see a Kohen that has that type of behavior, Al Tahara Akhrov, don't be concerned about them. Why? Shinema V'Amcha K'mariv Kohen, Kohanim have the nature of being quarrelsome. Amar Rav Avin Bar Ado Amar Rav, Kol Nisa Isha She'ena Genes Lo. If somebody marries a woman who he shouldn't have married, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring the Shechina, made a kol shvatim, he'll speak about the purity of all the shvatim they made all of. But he won't be able to say about him. When will HaKadosh Baruch Hu say about families that they belong to him? In a situation when their yichus will happen. So I saw the Ben Ish Chai explains what does this mean. He says that we know that one of the nisim that happened in the Beis HaMikdash was Oimdim Revochim, Oimdim Tzufim, or Mishtachim Revochim. That they, when they stood many people close together, but when they bowed down, everybody had enough space. Says the Ben Ish Chai, the people who don't have the proper yichus, when Mashiach comes, Meher Yemenu, that nes won't happen to them. Amar Rav Chaim Bar Chanoi, Kishkadosh Baruch Hu Mashiach Kenasai, Ein Masha Ela Mishpachas Mishchasas B'Yisrael. Shnemar, the Pasuk says, Be'es Ahinu Mashem, Eya Melekin L'Kol Mishpachas Yisrael. L'Chol Yisrael Loi Nemar, it doesn't say to all Jews, L'Chol Mishpachas. V'Heim Yiyu L'Am, continues the Pasuk, Amar Rav Rafuna, Zumala Yisera, Yesh Ben Yisrael Geirim. That's something that distinguishes Klai Yisrael from the Gerim. Dila b'Yisrael k'se behuv yosu lechem lelekim v'eim yiyu lela'am. V'yila b'Gerim k'se v'miza orav alibay l'geshus alay nu'am Hashem v'yisam lelekem v'ni'er lechem lekim. So the way the Mefarshim explain this is that we know there's something which is known as a sarusa de l'sata and there's an sarusa de l'ela. A sarusa de l'sata means that we have to take the first step and getting closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A Sarusa de la'ela means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyachal, takes the first step. And what the Gemara means to say here is that people who are part of Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he wants to be close to them, does a Sarusa de la'ela. He takes the first step in drawing them close to him. The people, on the other hand, who are not that way, are the Geirim have to do a Sarusa de l'Sata, they have to make the first step. Amrav Chelba, Koshim Geirim Yisrael, Geirim are difficult for Klal Yisrael to absorb, Kisapachas, like a Sapachas is a form of Tzaras, Shnema v'niva ager aleim, v'nisbechu abeis Yaakov, k'sivhaq v'nisbechu, the word nisbechu is used regarding Geirim, and there it says, l'seis l'pachas. So here the Gemara is saying that Geirim are difficult. And many Rishonim and Achronim explain why. So Rashi says, because the Geirim are not familiar with all of the halachas, but they become part of the Jewish people, and the rest of Klal Yisrael learns from them, and they learn not what to do. Another pshat is that, again, because they're not familiar with all of the halachas, but once they become Geirim, the halacha is that Klal Yisrael are reiv mezeh lezeh. We're all responsible for each other, and now we're responsible for people who are not doing what the halacha requires. Tosfos explains that since our Gemara just taught us that a Kadosh Baruch Hu looks for mishpachas miyuchasos, the geirim are not mishpachas miyuchasos. Another pshat Tosfos says that the Torah is very concerned that we treat the geirim with the proper respect. And it's difficult to do so all the time. And that's why it becomes an issue for us. Another pshat that Tosfos suggests is because the Gerim are all supposed to join Klal Yisrael. How do they join Klal Yisrael? Because since Klal Yisrael is dispersed all over in Golis, in order, one of the reasons that we are in Golis is that it should be an opportunity for the Gerim to be able to join us. So because of the Gerim, we are in Golis. But Avram Hager says just the opposite. The Gerim are much more careful in their observance, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, look at these individuals, they weren't born Jews, and look how they behave. Why you who are born in part of Klal Yisrael don't behave that way? Another pshat is because the concern is that the Geiris wasn't done with the proper intention. And since they weren't done with the proper intention, their whole Geiris and their whole assimilation into Klal Yisrael is questionable. And the last pshat we'll quote is the pshat of the Ravon, that it's a similar pshat to what we said before, that Mashiach cannot come until all the individuals who are supposed to be Gerim become Gerim. So it's these Gerim. If not for Gerim, Mashiach maybe would have come already. We're waiting for all the Gerim to become Gerim, and therefore that situation is what's preventing perhaps Mashiach from coming.